Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and today I am joined by my friend and local seller, Kay. You may know her as Passports and Pizza Pies on YouTube and Instagram. And today we're going to talk about a topic that we have experienced in our reselling journey, and that is how to resell and work full time and try to create boundaries, and however consuming reselling life can be. And then once you create those boundaries, what type of healthy habits can you put into your life to kind of keep the madness at bay? This is something that Kay and I have had to learn over the last few years. So we are excited to talk about it. I think it's a great time to start talking about it because we're heading into the new year. And you might be reevaluating things. So we will dive right into it. We will see you at the table. Hi, Kay. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome
back to the podcast. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. This is your second time here. So welcome back. We love having repeats. So before we get started, why don't you introduce yourself to everyone? Because some people may not have listened to your episode yet from 2 years ago. 2 years ago?
Yeah, the plushies. Yeah.
Yes, that was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And listen, people love that episode.
Well, I'm glad that people liked it.
Yes.
Yep. So I'm Kay of Passports and Pizza Pies on YouTube, Instagram, all the things. I am a single mom to a wonderful 14-year-old daughter.
She's the best.
She's amazing. I'm so lucky. She recently got diagnosed this summer with type 1 diabetes. So that's been a little bit of, you know, an adjustment period. But other than that, I've been reselling part-time in addition to my full-time income since 2018. So I'm about a little over 5 years in. And Danielle is probably my closest friend. And I love running into her in thrift stores and just hanging out with her in general.
It's so random because we don't plan it.
No.
Yeah. The last time I saw Kay, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Kay. Yep. No, that's definitely Kay.
And just yep. Walked up to
her. But like, we don't, unless we're planning a trip to a thrift store together, like it doesn't happen. And people must think like in Rhode Island, you run into people all the time. And you do.
They're small.
Like, never intentional. It's not like, I could also be in the same place as Kay and not see her.
Yeah.
And have no idea. She just happened to be in my area that day.
I know. I was in your hood that day.
You were. You were. It's okay. A lot of people have been going that way. It's fine. It's fine. There's nothing there anyway. So, Kay, you've been reselling for how long now?
A little over 5 years, 5.5 at the end of this year.
When you started reselling, like, what did that look like for you? What were the reasons why you started to do it? And then we'll kind of take it from there.
So reasons why I started, I've always pretty much had a side hustle as, you know, a young adult human person, because I like money and I like to do things with that money. And my job, I've been here at this job under different names due to acquisitions and such, but I've been here for 18 years as of September of this year. So I've been around for a while. But it's always nice to have extra funds so that I can use that as play money. I wanted to also buy a house in the next couple of years. So that was another reason why I started. But yeah, I've always had a side hustle. I drove for Uber. I was a personal trainer for a little bit of time. But yeah, I like the supplemental income. And to be honest, it's surprising that I got into reselling and have stuck with it this long because I have addictive personality and don't tend to stay with things for a long period of time. Yeah. And also, I'm not the most fashionable person. I basically live in leggings and oversized sweats.
Neither am I, but people assume that, like, because I like fashion that like I'm super fashionable. If you saw me on a daily basis, I'm not.
As you can attest to when you run into me randomly in thrift stores, yeah, when I'm in your area.
If you ever seen this in person, you would know.
But yeah, I as a single parent, I just wanted extra money so that we could live a little bit more comfortably.
I think that's why a lot of us who work full-time get into reselling, right? It's helpful to have that extra income. It's helpful to, for whatever reason, right? For me too, it was saving up to buy a house, pay off some debts, like get things rolling to get to that next step. But then somewhere along the line, reselling is addictive, like you said, but it's addictive to a different way. Like I have started and stopped hobbies over the years whether it was making jewelry or whatever. Like, it was fun, but then you get sick of it and you don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And with reselling, it's almost like it's never ending. There's always more.
It's all consuming.
So it is. And it's so hard to create that separation because, first of all, what other kind of business is there that your investment is so small and your profits can be so big, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the addictive part of it, where it's like, I could totally do this and make a killing on it. And then we start to realize as you go, you don't realize it at first. I would say probably year 3.5 or so is when I started to realize, like, oh, this is like...
How much work?
This is a lot. The first year, you're learning so much that you don't even...
Notice it.
No, and you don't process it that way because it's fun. Like, thrifting is fun, and the processing, the inventory is fun, and the listing it, like, the whole thing, because it's so new, is so fun. And then year two, it's like, I'm either growing and things are going great, or I gotta, like, maybe I go a different way and I start sourcing something else. I'm kind of, like, dabbling all these different things until I figure out what part of reselling I like. And then all of a sudden, year three hits, and you're like, oh, there's things that come with this that I was not prepared for that now I'm in, and I don't know how to get out. It is. Mm-hmm.
I'm in it now. I'm stuck
here.
Yeah,
like I am set in stone in. And not that I want to be out of it, but it's like finding the balance, especially, you know, you are a single mom and you have a full-time job. And it's finding that balance of, okay, I have a daughter that I need to take care of, make sure she's good, do all the mother things, right? But then I also have a job that I need to attend to during the day that requires a lot of our attention. And we'll get into how reselling can kind of affect our full-time jobs, because it definitely affected me in the beginning as well. And I'm sure it affected mm-hmm. you.
Sure did.
But then there's this really cool thing that you get to work on that also requires a lot of time. It's all those fun things that we used to do before we started reselling just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, there's no time. There's no work-life balance. It's just work all the time.
All the time. And it never ends, because reselling never shuts off. It's not an on-off button. It's not like a brick and mortar where you've got a group of people behind you who are taking care of things, and like there's a customer service line, like you don't have to worry about that. Like, no, it's all you when you're running a solo reselling business. And I think we can get into the whole, when you have a full-time job and then you resell and you're so addicted to it, how it affects your full-time job. You can't focus on your full-time job.
Mm-mm.
It's all you think about. It's all you want to do. You're constantly checking the app. You're constantly looking at offers. You're constantly doing whatever it is that you need to be doing. You want to be outsourcing. You want to be listing. Like, in the beginning, it is a very hard balance because you're so excited about this thing. I know I personally struggled with it. I don't know if you want to share with everyone how you struggled with it.
Yeah. So like we've been saying, it's kind of all consuming. So having a full-time job, I've basically been like using my breaks to work on reselling. So I'll list a few during a 15-minute break, or I don't relist, but I guess I could technically be doing that too. I'm working on my bookkeeping in the morning when, you know, the phones at my job are not on, so I can kind of get away with doing multitasking at the same time. So working on my full-time job and working on reselling without it really affecting too much. But it's definitely a struggle because, like you said, reselling is always on. There's always something to be doing. You could be doing bookkeeping. You could be doing photographs. You could be listing. You could be relisting. You could be sending out offers. You could be processing the thrift store items that you just got. You could be, you know, working on your inventory storage or a million other things. So there's literally always something you could be doing that is related to reselling versus a full-time job, where, at least in my case, I work from 6:30 to 3. And then after that, that's it. I shut my computer off. I turn off the sound so I'm not bothered by emails. And, you know, there's a definite on and off period for that. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard.
I always, every break that I had was spent on reselling in the beginning. So my hour lunch break was always to be at a local thrift store that was close by. Always. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to find the things. But then when, and my 15-minute breaks were the same thing. I was sending offers. I was doing whatever I had to do. This is before I had a bot I would have to share on my phone. I mean,
manually share, yeah.
I would have to share my phone. So that's why I did my 15-minute breaks. Then when
And that was before they had the, you could share everything at one time.
Exactly.
So it was even more time consuming.
Now if I want to shut my computer off for whatever reason, I can just share my phone by having the new feature that they have on Poshmark. So that's easy. But then it was after work and I could go to the thrift store after work. It's not far from where I work. So I could drive 5 minutes up the road and go to the thrift store and spend an hour or two in there. And then what, get home at 6 o'clock at night, make dinner, and like the night's over. But then I'm so excited about the things that I found. This is the days where we can find things very easily.
Let's throw that the days out there. Of past.
Yeah, this is not modern day. I would immediately go upstairs or wherever I was at the apartment at the time. I'd immediately go in the bedroom and I would start processing the inventory. I would photograph. I would get the things listed. It was like there was so much excitement around it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It got to the point where I started to realize that I can't do this all the time the way that I am. It's not healthy, number one, to have like that much of an addiction towards it.
Even though it's not manageable.
No, it's not. And then did it affect my full-time job in terms of work performance? No, but I didn't want to be at my full-time job. I wanted to be outsourcing. I wanted to take a day off and go sourcing. I didn't want to be at my full-time job. Because that was more fun to me and it was a great distraction from life, right? And I don't know. I'm sure the people have dealt with the same thing that are full time. And I just can't. Liv just walked in. So hi, Liv. I don't know people who are just full time sellers do it all, because at least the full-time job, you have a block of time where you have to dedicate to work because it pays your mortgage, right? Like that's kind of like for me and you, that's full-time work, mortgage, health insurance,
things. Pay my bills.
Mm-hmm. Right. It pays all the bills that I need. So I don't know how a full-time seller who really doesn't have those breaks unless they're formulating them into their schedule, which is really hard to do. How are you doing it? Like, I'm always amazed by full-time sellers that they're able to create this type of schedule where they have an on-off switch, but I also know a lot of them that don't, and they don't know how to stop.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a solution to that. I just think really what it comes down to, and one of the things we want to talk about, is creating boundaries. And something that Kay and I have always had in common is that, and we actually had mutual friends, is we were really big in the gym community. And that was something that we were also obsessive about. And I can say that I'm very open about how obsessive I was with the gym. I loved it. It was my life. It was like, I can't explain. I can't put into words. When you find a community in a gym that just gets it, and you are so hooked. No matter what you do, that's where you want to be. And that's kind of what happened with reselling. It kind of took that gym part and it got replaced with reselling. And it was probably a blessing in disguise when like I look back, because there was a lot that had been going on in my life at that time, and I had gotten hurt in a competition. I was in a car accident. Like, there's all these different things that kind of happened that led me to kind of stray a little bit away from the gym. And the group of people that I was originally with at the gym, just the gym started taking a turn. It just wasn't for me anymore, basically. I had to find a new gym family. And if you've ever been it's very difficult. Yes. It is so hard to find a gym family that meshes with you. When you find it, you never want to let it go. So I really didn't do much of any of working out or powerlifting or anything for a long time, because then COVID happened. And what was I doing besides walking? Like, there wasn't
much. I mean, the stores were closed. It's not like we could go thrifting for products to sell. So
yeah,
it was either online or not at all.
Mm-hmm. So then when 2020 happened, I think that's when I started to realize there was this thing that I really loved that I did all the time that I just haven't done in the last 2 years because of reselling. And I want to get myself back into it, but I need to, again, create a healthy boundary with working out because it was not healthy.
It's easy to get carried away.
Absolutely. Especially when you just, like, you crave it. I can't, if you have ever been in that bodybuilding, powerlifting, CrossFit realm, you crave that adrenaline that comes with it. The same way resellers crave going to the thrift store and finding the most amazing piece and, like, it, you want to go back, right? It's the same thing. It's such a dopamine rush. So I slowly started to like go for walks around the apartment building and go to the apartment gym, and you had to like sign in and you can only go certain times, whatever, you know, the gym to yourself, but like slowly doing little things to kind of bring me back to normal, I guess is the way that I could say it. But it really made me realize like I have dropped so much out of my life because of this one thing that became a hobby that makes me extra money has just consumed me.
Yeah.
Can you speak to everyone about, you know, we have very similar workout backgrounds, but, and how that's kind of gone astray for you as well. But as of late, it has not.
Yeah. So, I started out my fitness journey back in like 2011 and I was doing OCR. So obstacle course racing, if you're unfamiliar with the term. So basically Spartan race, Tough Mudder, all of those.
Okay. I never did a Tough Mudder, but I always appreciated people who did it.
I never did a Tough Mudder either, but that's the one that most people know besides Spartan races. And that also became an addiction at one point. And it was pretty much like in every other weekend I was traveling to a race. I went all over the country. I've flown to like Vegas to do races, all of that. And then I had a boyfriend at the time who was really into that community as well. That's how we met. And then he was a bodybuilder. So that's how I kind of naturally segued into the bodybuilding community. And I started going to the gym regularly and I loved it. I mean, I even became a personal trainer part-time for a little over a year. But then after I became a personal trainer, I dropped the boyfriend. That was a blessing. But after the personal training thing, it started to become too much like a job. And then I stopped loving it so much, which is kind of why I'm surprised that I've stuck with reselling so much. Cause now it's not really so much as I'm excited to go out and thrift. It's a job, but I still stick with it. But in any case, like the end of 2017, I want to say I completely stopped going to the gym. I had started hiking cause I was getting ready to go to Peru and we were hiking to Machu Picchu. It was like a 4-day trek. And then when I came home, no gym membership. I canceled all of my stuff and I just was a couch potato. Basically, I didn't do a thing. And then this year I decided that it was time to be a little bit selfish and do something for myself, for my own health, because, you know, I have a young child and I want to be around for her as long as physically possible. And I know that if I don't do something, that's not going to be as likely to happen. And, you know, a lot of it with the gym thing, besides it being like work, it was, I didn't want to take time away from spending time with my child when she was, you know, in her formative years growing up. It's a really hard thing to manage as a parent. But this year I went on Facebook Marketplace and I searched high and low for a good used Peloton and I found one and I came with a bunch of accessories and I sold a bunch of them to kind of recoup my money. And my work gives me a slight discount, very slight discount on the monthly membership, but it's the best thing, the best investment I ever made for myself. I've lost 20 pounds this year. I'm super excited about it. I still have more to lose, but I am excited that I've lost 20 pounds and kind of found that love for it again, because it doesn't feel like I have to do it. It's just something that I want to do.
It's so, when you come from the bodybuilding, powerlifting background, there's a lot of like mandatory discipline and routine that has to exist, especially if you're competing. Did you ever compete?
Yes.
You did. So you know. there's strict regimens that have to be put in place when you're competing, whether it's food, whether it's the workouts, all of it. And it is a job. There's when you go the competing route, it is absolutely a job. And it takes up 4 to 5 hours of your night or morning, depending on when you're going or if you have the luxury to go in the middle of the day. A good workout session for me when I was powerlifting was 2 to 3 hours. That was like, same. I felt like I could get everything in 2 to 3 hours. If I was only there for an hour, I couldn't do what I had to do. I could only do the major lifts and then I was out, right? But that didn't help me when it came to competition. I had to do all the other things.
Yeah. Plus there's so much else that goes into it, you know, like meal prep and supplements and all of that too. So
it's so expensive on top of it. It creates such an unhealthy relationship with exercise and body image and everything else. But I can't speak to bodybuilding because I never went into that world. But in the powerlifting community, I do think it's a little bit different where body image is looked at in a different light. Mm-hmm. But I feel like as the years have gone on, powerlifting is kind of emulating what bodybuilding has always done, where it's like you have to look a specific way.
Yeah.
But when I was in powerlifting, it didn't matter what you look like. It didn't matter what your weight was. It was all about how much can you lift? What is your body capable of doing? I had to step away from that. And that was really hard. And reselling helped. Reselling was my therapy from A, losing my dad, and B, the getting away from powerlifting because it wasn't healthy for me anymore. When I finally decided I wanted to go back into working out, so for you it was getting the Peloton. For me, I was like, I don't know what the hell I have to do because all I want to do is lift. That's what really makes me happy. But I was trying to control my autoimmune numbers. I knew that I was going to be going on this fertility journey and it required me to do so many different things that I wasn't too keen on. But oh well, mm-hmm. You have to do it, Daniela, basically. So I really just stuck with walking for a really long time because I found that that was the only thing that I felt like I could get a workout, do some hills. I felt like I was still working muscle groups I needed to work. I could still work on my core, like all the important things that when you're lifting that you want to focus on. And it didn't take up too much of my time, so I could still have enough time after work, before work, between reselling. Like there was always time available. I have, thankfully, learned that it is okay to not lift weights. And it is okay to just use your body weight. And it is okay to just do some stretching and maybe only go for a 15-minute walk and only do half a mile instead of going for 2 or 3 miles.
Or take a 15-minute Pilates class or do some yoga just so you're moving and not just sitting still.
And this actually came up in our Patreon call last night with our group where one of the individuals was talking about, you know, exercise and how difficult it is because when you're a mom and you have kids and you're like – you work, you're a reseller, like, well, how am I supposed to do it all? Working out's last on my list. And I couldn't even believe this came out of my mouth, but I was like, well, you should just work on like intentional grounding, like go outside and ground yourself, put your bare feet on the ground and like look up at the sun, go for a quick 5-minute, 10-minute walk. And like, that's still exercise. Daniela 5-6 years ago would have never said that. I would have said, pick up a barbell and call it a day. Like, let's go lift some weights. But like the reality is, meditative states and stretching and all that, that's still exercise. So if you're a reseller, you're like, okay, cool, I would like to work out, but like there's just too many things that I need to do in a day, whether it's the kids and school and whatever else, plus reselling. I say you just need 5 to 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's it. 5 to 10 minutes. And it creates, especially if you do in the morning, it just sets the tone for the day.
For the rest of the day.
And if reselling is your full-time gig, well, now you have gotten yourself into a place, you've moved your body, you've stretched, whatever it is. I recommend YouTube for those who don't want to pay for anything. Go to YouTube, type in whatever it is you want to work on. Maybe you want a, like a 10-minute stretching exercise. It's on YouTube. Maybe you want to do beginner's yoga for 15 minutes. It's on YouTube. Everything is on YouTube and it's free. So go to YouTube before you venture out into spending money on classes and everything else. Just that 10, 15 minutes, and then eventually you can grow on it. But I think that's like the number one boundary that all resellers need to put into their life is find a few minutes in your day to just be with yourself
and
help your body feel good. Because how
shitty do we all feel when you have been at the bank all day or sourcing all day and you're hungry and you're tired and now you've got this huge pile of things and you've got a process and you've got a list. You're not taking care of your body. You can't be good at what you're doing because, like, you don't feel good. So how can you be good at what you're doing?
You don't have to. You have to take care of yourself also.
Yeah, exactly. Or don't process it when you get home. How about you don't do that? And you just go home and you take a shower and you relax and you, like, you eat.
Read a book for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I think that was a very hard lesson because we both kind of did the same thing. Gym community dropped it, reselling. It was like, there's no break in between. And it's the same thing, just you're doing different tasks.
Different tasks, yeah.
So.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think that was probably the biggest shift for both of us. Now, with you, you have Liv, and Liv's a teenager, but regardless, still requires mom time. Doesn't matter. How hard is it working full-time, providing for a family, and then selfishly wanting to work on reselling, but knowing that you have to spend that time with your child?
So it's extremely hard to answer your immediate question. But that's why I've kind of not fallen off, because obviously I'm still reselling, but that's why I've kind of taken a couple steps back in that regard this year. So like with YouTube and everything, I was doing thrift hauls every single Friday from the beginning of the year until like the summer. And it just got to be too much because I felt like I constantly needed to go to the store and source more items so that I could have stuff to put out a video for. And after everything that happened this summer with my daughter and her health, I just had to be like, hey, this is not it. This is not the life that you want. You need to kind of step back and reevaluate things. And so I changed it to now it's every 2 weeks I'll do a haul on YouTube, and I don't feel like I need to go to the thrift store every time. I was going to the thrift store every Thursday and Friday when she was with her dad after work. I'd go to the thrift store both days, every single week. And I'd spend a couple hours at the thrift store. So now it's more of I will take my lunch break and I will do my workout. I will still list or photograph, you know, either after work or in during my other 15-minute breaks from work. But, you know, especially so in the summer when she's home and not in school, because during the school year, she's at school while I'm working. She gets home maybe like an hour before I'm done with my shift at work. And then we hang out with each other. So unless she's got homework or something, and then I'll do a couple things, but I don't want to be having to feel like I still need to do my workout and do all this reselling stuff on top of it when I could be spending valuable time with her instead. So it's been hard to balance that, but I feel like I've finally nailed that down in the last couple weeks, actually. So
I think a lot of it too is we get stuck in our own routines. Mm-hmm. And breaking them is so hard. Something has to happen in our lives. So for you, it was, you know, Liv's diagnosis and everything. That makes us really step back and be like, okay, like, what's more important here? Me spending this time going to the thrift store on X, Y, and Z days? Or is it being present, right, and spending that time? It could be your spouse, it could be whoever, it could be your mom, whoever it is, right?
Your cat. I mean, it doesn't matter. Right. Yourself.
It doesn't matter who it is.
I mean, the good thing for me is at least now, not so much when I first started reselling, but now she likes to thrift because she gets, you know, unique clothing that no one else at school is going to have. So that's time that I can spend technically doing work, as in reselling, I'm sourcing, but I'm also spending time with her at the same time. So that's been nice. versus before where I felt like I was taking time away from spending time with her because I had to go to the thrift store. So I would kind of just try to save it for times that she was spending time with her dad. So that it kind of didn't overlap like that. But yeah, other than that, I kind of just want to spend time with her versus doing literally anything else.
I also,
because sometime at some point I'm not going to be able to do those things, or she's going to be off on her own and, you know, not at home. And I'd rather save working on reselling or growing my business or whatever else for that time, which is only a few years away. So it's really not that far.
I know, it's true. She's almost at that age, and it's crazy. I wanted to touch on the YouTube thing. So I loved YouTube when I first started doing it, but man, what a commitment. And yes. I don't know what possessed all of us to get into it, but it is a commitment that I just can't keep. Sorry.
Don't blame you.
Because I was going through other things, right, health-wise in my life, that it just, something had to give at that point, and that was the easiest one to let go. The podcast is something that's harder to let go because it's the community that it's built, and I enjoy it. It's just different. Having conversations with people is very different, and meeting very unique people. But YouTube, I don't know. Will I ever get back to it? Maybe. But I think, like you, reselling for me has really changed this year, and priorities have changed, obviously. And I think I have found a balance where I'm okay with not putting the same amount of work into reselling. I'm still making what I need to make for myself. I'm not surpassing, and I'm okay with that. I don't think anyone's really surpassing this year anyway, so we can kind of like nix this year to begin with. But there comes a time, and I think a lot of us who kind of started in that 2017, 2018 timeframe, who have kind of hit that 5, 6, 7 year mark, have all kind of been going through the same thing this year, where people are pulling back, or people are stopping the way they were doing things, or they're doing less content, or they're not doing any content, or they're not reselling at all anymore. And they're just focusing on something else that's, you know, maybe it is content creation, maybe it's being more creative, maybe it's, you know, some people have gone the route of like designing clothing. I mean, there's all these different things that people can do. Or some people have gone back to the workforce that were full-time sellers. So I do think it's interesting to see how many of us that kind of started around the same time are kind of going through the same process. And maybe it happens, but we're noticing it because a big group of us are kind of doing it all at the same time.
Right.
I don't know. And is it just in the Poshmark community? Is it happening in the eBay community? I would assume it's happening all over the place.
I don't see it as much with eBay. But to be fair, on that same token, I do know quite a few resellers. They're all men. That were strictly eBay, and they've actually expanded into Poshmark this year. So that's been interesting for me to see. Yeah.
That's very interesting because that crossover never happened. How many?
Yeah, I started on Poshmark. Right. So.
I mean, I just don't, you don't hear men coming into Poshmark. So for men to want to come into Poshmark, it's got to be rough on eBay too.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I mean, there's so many factors, right?
It's rough everywhere. Just, it's rough in the world in 2023.
Rough every single place. So, yeah, I think those are the two, the biggest thing that we've had to do this year is kind of pull back in general and figure out what's important and how important is reselling to us. And it is important. I don't want people to think that reselling is not important. We still do it. We just do it in a totally different way than we did when we first started. But it took us years to get here.
To figure that out.
Yeah. Like, I love going on sourcing trips, but man, I don't really feel like it. Like, it's fun, but then there's, I think it's gotten so hard that, okay, we could drive the hour and a half, right? And we can go into a different state. But what's the guarantee of me spending this money?
You're going to find anything.
Right. And then I'm going to find anything that's even worth my time. There is no guarantee.
Which is why I kind of reprioritized how I did sourcing this year. And I started going to the bins once a month because, yes, it's an hour away, but I always know that I'm going to find something there and the cost will not be too bad.
Right.
So that's been a huge help in my reselling business. So yes, I'm not going to probably surpass what I did last year monetary wise, like as far as profits are concerned, but it's a lot more manageable for me because I don't feel like I go to the bins once a month. I get a whole bunch of stuff. I think I got close to 50 items when I just went a couple of weeks ago. So that's enough to last me for a while at the rate that I have been listing things. But that's a different topic for another day.
I have stuff sitting that on my rack, and I don't have a lot of stuff in my rack. I maybe have 30 pieces at most, but there's 4 pieces in that have been on that rack since June. Like, that's how motivated I am to list, guys.
I have things from like the first quarter of 2023 that I still haven't listed, because if I'm just not excited about it, I'm gonna take my sweet time to get it listed.
Yeah. And so I had to sell different things than me too. Like, we sell some stuff that's similar, but Kay ventures into different things that I don't. So your sourcing is very different than mine. Your sourcing could be more eclectic, where mine is so specific that it's maybe, and that's maybe part of the reason why it's helped me to pull back the way that I have so dramatically without feeling like a failure. I hate to even use that word, but it's very easy to feel that way. Like when I look at my, speaking of bookkeeping, when I look at my numbers, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? This is disgusting, Daniela. Like, you are so far behind the last 2 years. But I have to remind myself that the numbers from 2020 to 2022 are also super inflated and not realistic. And I completely understand that, because people were home and people were getting money in their pockets that
couldn't go anywhere. So they went online and went shopping.
Right. So it's just, man, bookkeeping. It makes me sad when I look at it. But anyway,
it makes me sad too. So relatable.
Can you share with people what you source and how you've been able to refine your sourcing so that you have more time to do other things that you want to do? Like, we enjoy eating. So like when Kay and I go sourcing, it's like, okay, we're going to source for X amount of time, but then we need
food. Where can we go to eat food that's nearby?
Like, everything's centered around like food and things we're going to do after we source. So how have you perfected your sourcing so that you have time to do other things, whether it's with Liv or just for yourself?
So, you know, when I was on your podcast before, I did the episode about plushies.
Yes.
I regret to say that I don't really do much plushies anymore because they take up too much room. And especially so with like Squishmallows. And I'm not telling anyone don't pick them up, because they do still sell, but they just weren't selling for me. And I literally had a whole, I think it's 16-foot shelf that I just had installed in my laundry room this year. And I had one whole shelf and then part of another one. I'm not good at math. That's what, like 24 feet.
Sure.
And it was all full of Squishmallows that just weren't selling. So luckily for me, I also sell locally at an antique mall in Rhode Island. So I was able to move them there and got rid of almost all of them. So I only have like a small amount left, but I don't really source plush anymore unless I see something that, like at the bins. It's different because you can get away with stuff at the bins.
Favorite thing.
It was. And I just, the return on investment just isn't there for me when I'm trying to source better and smarter. It just didn't make business sense in that regard. So like I just went to the bins, like I said, a couple weeks ago. I got one plushie. I did find a couple of Squishmallows and I gave them to my friend that I had gone to the bins with, and she gave them to her daughters for first dibs. So I'm still finding them. I just don't pick them up as much. But what I really sell the most and where I go first in any thrift store besides the bins, because you can't really change what you get there. But it's activewear all day, every day. You know, coming from a fitness background, I guess you could say, I know the brands to look for. I know what I personally like to work out in, what brands do well, what brands are better quality, besides just, you know, Lululemon, which everybody knows. But so I go there first, then I go, it depends on the day, either shoes or jeans, because jeans, my ASP is higher with jeans. So I've had a lot of good luck there. And if Burlington keeps donating new Wittag Levi's to my thrift stores, then I'll be a happy camper. Shoes haven't been great in the last, I don't know, probably close to a year now. I just haven't really found too much in the shoes. But yeah, activewear first, then shoes or jeans. Since I have the antique mall, I do go into the hard goods to try and find stuff for that, because that's a completely different animal when it comes to sourcing. But I think that's partially what keeps me going also, because even though my booth doesn't do well monetarily, I just really love sourcing for it. And it's kind of like I'm sourcing for my own house, but my house is too small to fit my stuff. So I'm sourcing for other people's houses that like the same stuff as me.
Yeah.
And so that part is fun.
Well, that part is almost like the hobby for you, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing too. Once you get to the point where you can figure out your strategies and how you're going to cut down on reselling time, which it can be done. I mean, it just requires you to create the plan and then put it in place, as you're hearing. For you, that booth is like, yes, it's technically work because it generates an income, but it's so fun when you find those pieces, you get so excited about it, and you're just so excited to put it in the booth for people to buy. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this morning. I have a friend who's starting a natural line of candles. She's designing different types of candles with essential oils and all natural components to it, so there's no toxins. And part of me is like, you know, I miss just having a hobby.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Like outside of working out, outside of the thing, like cooking and cleaning. Like, I love to cook. I love to bake. That's, yeah, I guess a hobby. But, like, I want something that's not related to anything to do.
Yeah, that's just something that's fun.
Yeah, but I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
That's what reselling was. But, like, my personality is I'm going to go all in. And then whatever this other hobby is, I'm going to end up going all in. And it's not going to be a hobby anymore.
That's exactly how I am. So that's why, like I mentioned, I have addictive personality. It's all in or not at all for me. And I don't have any middle ground in any regard in any area of my life. That's just not who I am as a person.
Right. How do the kids have no chill? Is that what the kids say?
No chill. Something like that. I don't know. I don't, we're not cool. Even though I have a teenager, I'm not cool.
I don't quite understand that lingo. But yes, I don't know if I can have a hobby. I think that's where I'm at right now. Is like, can I have a hobby? I don't know.
Does reading count as a hobby? Because if it does, then that's really my only hobby right now.
I think watching Instagram reels of cats is my hobby.
And sharing them with each other.
Yes. I think I consider that my hobby right now, because I'm very nervous to take up something again and it become what I don't want it to become.
Too much.
I've worked so hard to not be in that space anymore.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Would you ever quit your full-time job to resell?
For reselling? I'd have to make probably triple what I make right now. So I don't know if that's feasible as a one-woman show in a very small house where all my inventory is stored in my equally small shed. But maybe. If I did, though, if I ever considered it, besides, you know, wanting to save up money first and to make the transition. But, I mean, that should be true of anyone who tries to do that.
Right.
But I think I would definitely need to set a strict schedule for myself. Otherwise, I would for sure get too overwhelmed and go back to not having like a work-life balance. It would just be work all the time. And I've worked too hard to get out of that mindset to ever go back there. And I think that would be really easy to do if I were to quit my full-time job and just rely on reselling. But I honestly, I don't know if I ever want to do that. At one point I did for sure want to just be a reseller full time, but I don't like the instability of the income. Single parent, have a child, have a mortgage, have a new car payment since I just bought myself a new car a couple months ago. And I just, that stress is not for me. Yeah. You know, the mental health aspect is important. And so I think at some, I think I just need to keep a full-time job, not necessarily this specific one,
but
a full-time job.
Yeah. I think we all, as full-time outside of reselling people, full-time workers outside of reselling, I should say, will always consider the idea of reselling full-time, especially when we get good at it. But the reality is, it's a lot to give up. It's a lot monetarily, benefits, I mean, all those things. The schedule that has that on-off switch. And not everyone has an on-off, right? Depending on your role, where you work. But for us, we have an on-off. Like, it's off. Yeah. 4 p.m. hits and I don't care what happens. The place could blow up. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. I know for some people that's not the case. But do I don't know. I feel like I'd be so wrapped up in it to the point of like, it would be so unhealthy. I would never spend time with anyone besides resellers to go thrifting. Do you know what I mean? Like,
So like your whole personality basically would be reselling and you'd have nothing else.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
I'm not about that life.
No. And I give credit to those who do it. But instability in today's world makes me very, very, very nervous. Unless you, listen, you could be so, you could be listening to this and be like the most successful reseller, having no problems at all. Listen, I applaud you, but you are the minority in today's world of reselling.
Right.
Absolutely the minority.
The exception, not the rule.
Exactly. Or you've been doing this for so long that you have built a capital that like you're good for 2 or 3 years. That's fantastic. The average reseller who we're interacting with is not in that situation. They may have a year's worth, maybe, of capital they can work with, but is that enough when reselling is in such a weird place right now? Like there's the live selling, there's big brands coming in, there's a lot of pre-loved websites, there's retailers that have pre-loved. So like, there's a lot of transitioning pieces in here. Is 1 year salary enough to keep you afloat with the way the world is? I don't have an answer to that. I personally would say no.
Right, same. I mean, and reselling in general is not something where you put X amount of work in and you're always going to get X amount of return. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. I mean, you could work yourself into the ground and still barely get by, and it sucks in that way. But
the amount of work that we have to put in K right now is like, I don't want to do it. This is requiring way too much work. The reason why we did this was it was easy.
Yeah, start selling stuff out of your house. No problem. This is not a problem at all. Yeah, not so much, almost 6 years in.
It's really, really hard. And so for that reason, that we have all these reasons that we've stated, no, I would never, in today's world, go full-time reselling. What I would do is leave my current job for a fully remote position that offers me amazing benefits that they're going to pay for, a great 401k or pension plan, and unlimited PTO. Yes, sign me up for that.
Sign me up for unlimited PTO.
Yes. That in a company that understands today's world and that offers real maternity leave and like all of these things, I would leave my job today for that in a heartbeat. Like that is the, if you are in the corporate world, we'll say, that is what everyone's aspiring to get to. Everyone wants to be able to have that unlimited PTO. No one ever abuses it. It just allows you that flexibility to take a day off and not have to worry about it, to go on a trip and not worry about saving up enough time. Am I going to have enough? I don't know. Is there going to be some type of ramification for me taking a week off? Is this going to come back and bite me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I envy those who have, my sister has that, and I am so envious of her because she works for a great company. They are progressive in a way that is so wonderful to hear. They beg her to take days off. They're like, please take Monday off. Name a place that does that.
Yeah, I wish. I lost time during the last acquisition. I lost like 8 days a year, and that was tragic for me. But you know, like what happened to me this summer with Liv and everything, and you know, not feeling like I could just drop things and be off. Like we went into the hospital with her on a Thursday. I was back at work on Monday. Granted, I am remote 100%. I never go into the office, so I was home. But like, if I felt comfortable enough to take that amount of time off, I would have just spent it at home with my kid, you know, right, instead of trying to worry and focus on work when I had this new stuff that was going on in my life that was infinitely more important than any job could ever be. So having unlimited PTO, that would be a huge benefit for me. I don't even care if I'm getting a little bit less pay. If I have unlimited PTO, I'm sold.
Right. It's so true. And the full-time resellers who listen to us are like, well, I have unlimited PTO. But do you?
But you don't get paid technically. So.
Right.
I mean, like one of my best friends works in the union, and he has technically unlimited PTO, but he doesn't get any pay. So if he takes time off to travel or do whatever he has to do, he doesn't get any money. So it's kind of the same with reselling, you know. Granted, you could still have some sales coming in, but it's not exactly the same as, you know, you take a day off from a corporate job and you know that you're going to get paid X amount of dollars for that 8 hours of work or whatever it is. It's hard.
Yeah. Being a entrepreneur is hard. Being a small business owner in today's world is hard. And I think if you are one of these people and you're trying to grow your reselling business, I think the number one piece of advice that I could give you is take it slow. Don't do what we did. Take it slow and really learn the process. Create the efficient systems that you need. Do your bookkeeping. Do all the things that don't seem fun. And do it while you're
block out time if you need to.
Mm-hmm. Do it while you're small so that you create such consistent habits that it gets easier when you get to, you know, a bigger place in your reselling journey, if you even get there. And then find ways to create the boundaries. You just listened to two people who work full time who have very hectic lives, and we were able to create boundaries, even though it took us a while and it was very hard to do. And something had to kind of push us to do it. We only have 24 hours in a day, but really we're sleeping for some of that time. So the times that you're awake, however long you're awake for, whatever time you wake up and you go to bed, pick blocks of time to do work, to focus on, maybe it's cleaning your house, maybe it's going for that walk, maybe it's homeschooling. Like, we need to get better at organizing our lives and not feeling like we're so inundated with stuff all the time. I hate that feeling.
That's why I started doing my to-do list, and every day on Instagram I post to my story. Yep. I post on my story a to-do list every single day on Instagram, and I put, you know, a few things, and I know I always have one thing on there that I know that I'm likely not going to get to. I don't think I've completed a whole day's worth since I started doing it, like, what, 2 weeks ago. Yep. But I'm very goal oriented. I work well with that when I have like a strict deadline. So I've been doing that every day, and it's really helped me. Like today I had run the dishwasher. So my dishwasher, hopefully you guys can't hear it in the background, but it's been running this whole time we've been on this podcast. But, you know, I have to do those things so that I can keep myself motivated to get things done. Otherwise my house would never be clean. I would never get any of my yard work done. You know, my cat would go unfed, you know, all those stupid little, you know, life things that you just forget about because you're so consumed with working or spending time with your family, but they need to get done. They're not just going to magically disappear, unfortunately. Unless I like hire a maid service to come and clean my house every week, but
that's more money.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I have to just be realistic about it. And I try to put like list 10 items every day on my to-do list. And yesterday I listed 4. So, I mean, it is what it is. We're just doing our best.
Yeah. Yes. Do your best. That's exactly right. Well, I hope you guys found this episode helpful. Listen to two gals just ramble about life, really. Really comes down to life and how to be
real life
balanced. Yeah, real life. How to be balanced.
Not sugar coated, not a highlight reel, you know.
Right.
not an Instagram post about how beautiful everything is and, oh my God, I'm making so many sales, and there's no context involved in that, right? And I think it's been helpful for Kay and myself to surround ourselves with people who, in the reselling community, who we align with, because there's a lot of people in the reselling community. But you got to find your people and you got to stick with them. Now, it's helpful that I have very close reseller friends that are local. I mean, that's great. I know it's not the case for everyone. But having those friendships, I think, are also helpful because people will put you in check. If you're constantly going and there are things happening and you should be paying attention to the more important things, they'll tell you. They'll be like, all right, stop. You don't need to do this. Go focus on what you need to focus on. So definitely having some type of accountability partner, and it could be someone, it doesn't have to be a reseller, it could be someone in your life that could just keep you accountable. But I think any way to help you stay accountable will help you create those boundaries and then create a better system and flow between reselling and life. So that's it. Thank you guys for joining in. We'll be back
next. Thank you, Daniela, for having me.
Anytime. You're welcome back anytime. I have no idea what we're going to put out next week. We are in communications with a company, a newer company, an extension tool that's out there that we have mentioned. If you're in the Patreon group, we mentioned them before. We may have them on next week, or we may wait until next year. So we don't know yet. But until then, we will chat soon. Bye.